Hello? Oh no, she's dead.
Death, a funny business on FUBAR Radio with Becky Briggs and Natasha Spencer-Levy.
It's all shits and giggles till somebody dies.
Oh God.
Do you like that? Woo! Welcome back. Another week.
Hi.
Another week, another show. Second live show. Why are you looking at me like that?
No, I've got the giggles, I think.
I think you find that so cringy.
Ooh,
that.
Yeah, no, do you know what? I won't lie. Like, listening to myself, it's not my favourite thing to do. And I have to do it quite a lot for, like, various different... No. But, like, genuinely, like, if I have to do, like, self-tapes or whatever, or, like, you know, for auditions and what have you, I'm so... bad at like listening back. I have to like put myself like I have to like brace myself
because you are an actress. I never know.
I don't mind. I'm not fussy.
What's preferred?
I don't mind either way, just as you know, as long as you're, you know, I'm an actor.
Oh my gosh,
how are you?
I'm good. I'm actually feeling a little bit ill.
I know you
so
are.
I'm really sorry. Yeah, but I'm still gonna bring the positive vibes.
Oh, always. How's your week been?
My week's been great.
It's been so peachy.
What does that mean?
Like good. Like peachy. Come on.
It's been great. Anyway, do you want to intro who we've got today?
Yeah.
We've got two guests today.
We do. We have two guests today. We have Abby Feltman, who is a content creator who was diagnosed with a grade 3 brain tumor in May of 24. But she's been posting online about her sobriety journey and her journey through grief for a long while. Mm. And she suddenly got diagnosed with this tumor. So it's going to be very interesting to talk to her in that process and what's been going on with her. And then we have, Michael Hebb.
Death Over Dinner.
Yes, who's the founder of Death Over Dinner, an organization which aims to encourage people to gather with their loved ones for a dinner to discuss the topic of how we'd like to die and our funerals, which I feel like is a vibe for us.
It is a vibe.
Because we've talked about that.
We talk about death all the time.
No, but specifically like our funerals and whatever. Like, yeah, we'll talk about what we want.
But I don't actually think I do know what you'd want when you died. Because I think
last time we just talked about...
I wanted a rave, but yeah. I don't actually think I would want a rave. I mean, I do think I would, but imagine if I died and then suddenly you were like, oh no, Becky's mum. Oh my gosh, you're gross.
That is disgusting.
It's disgusting.
It's good for the bit.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Sorry, I interrupted you while you were talking about how you'd actually want to go out.
I forgot what I said.
Your funeral.
Oh, my funeral. Yeah, like, I think I'd want a massive party and a massive rave.
I feel like
that's speak to my mum about it, I'm not sure she would actually agree.
Well,
but that's the point of this, right?
Pull up the pod and be like, oi, Susie.
She said it.
She said this is what she wants and this is what we're doing. And I've got the whole... thing planned out and we're gonna have WAP the whole way down there.
That's what you're gonna have.
Yeah, that's totally what I'm gonna have.
Your week been then?
It's been good. I am grieving a little bit. My best mate moved out. Gina moved out.
Oh, she finally moved out. Finally.
She hasn't been here that long, actually.
No, but I remember you saying that
she was
moving.
Gina and I have known each other as long as I've known you, because mm-hmm. she came in the same year, but mm-hmm. she's been my next door neighbour since we were like 4. And she's, oh, bloody hell, sorry.
What is going
on
today?
That's my necklace like attacking the microphone. She's been like my surrogate sister for God forever.
Are you lonely?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I had a big cry. She don't know if she listens to this, but lol. She's going to be like, why are you crying? but she left on Sunday, and then on Monday I was in the... Yeah, Monday was yesterday, and I was like in the house, and I was just like...
But it's like when the house is empty and you're used to a buzz and you're used to things going on, and then suddenly someone just goes. Exactly. And we don't like when people just leave, do we? So
no, and
that's
like,
pretty tough.
Yeah, and literally like I was like walking around and like I was like, some of her things are still there, and I was like... No, literally, because like we've got into such like a rhythm. We had got into such like a like cozy rhythm of like existing together, and like I feel like she's like the kind of person, like the first, like not the first person, but like one of those people that I've lived with that like really gets me and like is really communicative, and like we just, because we've been friends for so long, we just get each other, and she like Yeah, it's. I had a very big cry yesterday. Like, I was in the house on my own and I was like...
What do you do? Do you then like order a takeaway or do you
no,
do
I'd
to...
No, I basically, what all normally happens to me is that I'm fine. I have dinner. I think I watched Green Book, which isn't a film that is I fucking love that movie. I think it's an amazing movie because I, for many reasons. But I was like, I want to watch Green Book because I actually think it's a brilliant
film. I've actually watched that one.
I'm so proud of you. Well done. That's a good film for you to watch. Fantastic film, in my opinion. And I watched Green Book because I'd seen it like pop up on my Instagram and I was like, oh, I want to watch Green Book. So I watched Green Book, had my dinner, had some custard and bananas in a mug. It was great. And then literally like finished, turned off the telly and then went and then was like, oh, fuck. And then like had to do my dishes like while crying and then just, you know, got ready for bed.
But then you're fine because I had a therapy.
Did you?
Appointment or session or whatever you'd like to call
well
it.
Well done.
Big talk on Thursday.
How was that?
It was really good. We were talking about how to not get into like hyper states or really low states because I have a tendency of when I get really sad, I'll then want to like get super hyper.
Just that
and
dopamine.
I can't, that dopamine, I can't kind of get that middle ground and I find it really hard to stay there. And I've definitely got better at dealing with that. But something that was really interesting, and I may have mentioned it before, so if I have, then boring. But the idea of like self-soothing is obviously what you need to do.
That's your remedy. What was yours?
Well, it was cigarettes.
Nice. Same. And that used to be the vibe. Don't worry. We were in the same boat, but then I have to sing for a living, so like can't really
It's
do
not
that
good.
Also.
No, so
oh,
do
you
I.
Do that as
I
well.
Do too.
What are you doing?
I know, it's disgusting.
But you sing like you
My
sing...
dad died of lung cancer. I should not be smoking, and I'm not really smoking anymore.
No, but my mum died of a lung disease too, so we really
do you know, snap!
No, but can I tell you that's like a metaphor. I'm not gonna lie. Like if me and you were smoking, it's such a metaphor for us being like, fuck you, lungs.
Yeah.
I don't care.
I got stronger lungs than you. Yeah.
Just like. Yeah.
But do you know? So do you know where that comes from? Like why we want to self-soothe.
Self-soothe. That's actually quite hard to say, isn't it?
Say it really fast.
Where does self-soothe?
It's because we like when we were younger, if we wanted to self-soothe, we would have a dummy and we'd suck on a dummy, or you'd suck on your mama's nipple.
For sure.
Whereas now it would be a little bit weird if we started doing that. Whatever you're into.
Well,
but instead we'd go for things like smoking or whatever.
Well, yeah, also if you don't have someone to pat you on the head, then, you know.
You turn to extreme things.
Yeah, well, you turn to, you know, if you don't have a hug. Honestly, did you know, girls, okay, I just want to let you know, we're supposed to be getting 8 hugs a day. It's actually like a scientific fact that women need 8 hugs a day to, like, thrive. And honestly, Gina hugged me the other day, okay? I'm talking about my housemate again. But
my ex-housemate.
I literally messaged her and was like, I miss you. She was like, missing you too. Not that she was like that. She's probably just like, oh. Grow up.
Fine.
Because we literally, bear in mind, we live next door to each other back at home. So, like, where my dad lives, she's our next door neighbour. So, if I go home and see my dad, I'll see G.
And you used to hug a lot.
Anyway, no, we don't hug because she's not that vibe. But I said to her, I was like, you need to hug me today. And she was like, okay, fine. And she hugged me. And I swear to God, I felt the calmest I felt in months. Honestly, a good hug.
I agree.
It's important.
I agree.
Doesn't necessarily need to be romantic, just friendly.
No, it's just physical touch, isn't it?
It's it's like it regulates your nervous system.
I can feel my whole nervous system calming down. Or if I even hug a hot water bottle to sleep, you know?
Oh, that's nice.
Like just like something.
I have soft toys. Do you still have soft toys?
What do you think?
I'm going to say no.
No.
Yeah, you don't.
I just find them annoying, and then I lie on it, and then my back hurts because it's like Mr. Piggy's under my back, and it's just
no.
It's
I not, have like a collection. I've got like.
But do you throw them on the floor in the evening?
No. They literally like kind of encircle me, and then they do fall on the floor. But
okay.
I do enjoy kind of.
So you hug all of them?
Yeah, I do.
They like
kind of have a rotation
each.
Of like we got Minky. A bear that's named after my ex-boyfriend, so I'm not going to name that out loud. And then...
You definitely have to do that now.
Bless him. Yeah, it's called George. At the end
no
of the day,
holding you
no,
back
no,
there,
no,
honey.
Let's be real, okay? I'll just tell the story. He gave it to me when we were like 14.
Yeah.
And we named it George. And then I'm just like, I can't rename a fucking bear, can I? Like, that's unfair. It's like renaming your child. Like, I'm not going to do that to it. So that one came out of retirement after a while because I was like, actually, I'm over it now. So he's just a bear now. He's not like a, you know what
you
I mean?
You didn't call him George.
No. He's called George Bear.
George Bear.
Yeah, but okay, this is a lot for people to know about me very quickly. I'm really worried that people who are going to date me now are going to be like, are you fucking okay?
And they know that you read Very Smart to George.
Thank you for bringing that up whilst we're talking about this. Anyway, let me get to the next stuffed animal. It's a dog called Lavender, and she is filled with lavender.
Oh, that's quite sweet.
I know, right? So those are the big ones. And then you have Cow, Duck, and then Snowy. And they're small.
Should we go to the break?
No.
I can't. I'm done. See you after the break. And we're here with Abby Fountain.
Bye.
FUPAR Radio.
Access all areas with Bobby Norris.
We've got Georgia Harrison, my SAS sister. That's when I thought shit's got real.
Well, I got out, didn't I, with my little earmuffs on and my scarf. And they didn't show that either because obviously I can't put everything in. But he looks at me and he goes, what the fuck are those? And he grabbed my earmuffs and he threw them across the New Zealand landscape. I thought, that's a fucking liberty. £3 from Sheen they were. I was still in my Sheen Queen era.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app.
Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores.
Yay! The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today.
Get it today.
It was calm on the beach, so I took my little girl out on the water. Then we hit the wind, and it blew us out to sea, faster than we could paddle back. And we learned our lesson from these guys, the crew who got us home. Thank you.
Respect the water and watch out for the winds. In an emergency, call 999 and ask for the Coast Guard.
Registering to vote means you can take part in the way decisions are made in the UK. When you register to vote, you are then able to cast your vote at local and national elections. You can help choose who runs your area and makes decisions about things you care about. Millions of people in the UK aren't registered to vote and they miss out on having their voice heard. It's quick and easy to register. It only takes 5 minutes. You can do it online or you can ask for a paper form at your local council. Register to vote now at gov.uk/register to vote.
What the hell with Gabby Allen.
Now I am joined by Faye Edwards, international fitness presenter. How do you personally stay so motivated?
We are all aging. That is my motivation. Sorry, Gabby. It's the crying, truth. Crying. And we can't change that, but we can help ourselves and keep our independence for as physically long as possible. It's about lifestyle. I have a better lifestyle. That is my motivation.
That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum.
I'd love to ask for people that look at you, what's one tip you would say to someone that potentially wants to be a future Chancellor of the Exchequer?
I guess I would just encourage all people, but particularly young women, because I'm the first ever woman to be Chancellor of the Exchequer and the post has existed for 800 years.
Oh, wow.
Just to say to all young women and girls, there's no ceiling on your ambition. You can achieve whatever you want. Aim high, dream big, and you can realise your dreams too.
Death, a funny business on FUBAR Radio with Becky Briggs and Natasha Spencer-Levy.
And we're back! Yay! Okay, stuffed toys aside, it's time for an interview.
Aside, yeah. We are joined on Zoom with Abby Fountain. Thank you so much for joining us. Can you hear us?
I can, yes.
Amazing. Thank you so much for coming online with us. We're really excited to talk to you today. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm all right, thank you. I'm all good.
Have you had a good day? Anything fun?
I went to therapy.
We love that. I mean,
it wasn't exactly fun.
You know, it's one of those things. It needs to happen, but it's not always a laugh. we wanted to chat to you about all things diagnosis and grief. And I've actually been following your journey for quite a while before your newest diagnosis, but about your sobriety and everything. And tell us a bit about your story, I suppose, and why you're talking to us today.
Well, my story. Where do I begin? I'm a content creator, and I started creating content around sobriety. Because I'm a recovering alcoholic. I have struggled with a drinking problem since I was a teenager. Mm. And in 2021, I started creating, when I had a year of sobriety, I started creating content about recovery and like the highs and lows of that journey. And then gained a bit of a following from that. And then I started posting about mental health because got a lot of mental health issues as well.
Amen.
I kind of tackled my drinking problem and my mental health, and things were looking up and I was quite stable and doing quite well. And then, bam, got a cancer diagnosis out of nowhere.
Blimey.
Big old brain cancer diagnosis.
How has that been for you, that change from kind of fighting so hard for your sobriety and now we've kind of moved into a direction that's just something that's completely unexpected? Like, congratulations on your sobriety as well, by the way. That's such a big achievement.
Thank you. How has
life been since this kind of shift to a new kind of health problem?
I mean, it's been, to be honest, it's been the latest in a long line of hurdles and challenges I've had to overcome. Like, literally can't catch a break. But when I was diagnosed with brain cancer, and they told me it was incurable, but treatable, but it wasn't ever going to go away, and it was a serious thing that I'd have to live with. I think all my issues previously and all the challenges I've overcome previously kind of like helped me deal with the diagnosis. I've not had an easy life, and these things keep on coming at me. But I feel quite experienced now. I feel like people could throw anything at me now, and you know, I'm not invincible, but I don't know. I've got a bit of experience with.
Feels like you've got like a good set of tools now to fight anything.
I mean, thank you for sharing. You seem so smiley and optimistic. Yeah. And like, I didn't quite know how to tackle this conversation, because obviously like we're used to having people come on to talk about someone who has already like died and their kind of grief. But what's it kind of like for you knowing kind of like where you are at the moment? And obviously I assume you have the mentality of kind of like, you know, got to live every day for, you know, the best way you can. But at the same time, you are a human being who will also have ups and downs. So what's that kind of like for you, seeing, knowing that this isn't going to be curable?
I mean, when my oncologist first told me, when he was like, you've got about 15 years left to live.
God.
And I was like, oh great, cool, thank you. it was a disappointment. It really was. I was a bit like, oh, I was hoping for a little bit more time, please. But I think I was just kind of stunned into acceptance, really. I that's kind of like how I deal with these setbacks in life and these curveballs that life throws at us. You know, like when I've been struggling with depression, I've always accepted that I'm depressed. Like,
For sure.
I haven't pretended I was fine and be like, I'm fine. I've accepted it and then kind of taken on the challenge head on. So with the diagnosis, I kind of, yeah, I accepted it straight away. And then I was kind of like, right, let's crack on. It's time to live life. You know, but before I got my diagnosis, I was really, I'm quite a pessimist, really. I'm quite a negative person, just naturally. I am a very bubbly person.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wouldn't have kind of got that. I feel like you're super, you seem, you know, super, super positive and excited by things. But where does that come from, do you think? I mean, I guess all the stuff you've been through, but...
Yeah, I think just trauma, you know.
Yeah, let's wrap it into that.
Yeah, the funniest people are the people who've been through the most.
Naturally, I'm a natural pessimist. I'm just a really negative person. And before I was like diagnosed, I was just like wishing the days away, you know.
Oh,
I was just like, didn't see the point in life. Like, my mental health goes up and down. But yeah, when I got diagnosed, I was like, what's the point in this whole life thing? I wasn't ill or suicidal, but I was like, I just couldn't really be bothered to live. And then got hit with a 15-year life expectancy. And I'm like, oh dear, better make the most of this.
Better pull my finger out.
Yeah, exactly.
And when it comes to like sharing your life online, like you've been so raw and vulnerable with such an enormous amount of people, how did that come about and what made you want to kind of share your experiences?
I think I have no shame, really, which I don't know comes from, I don't know, maybe just years of alcohol abuse and kind of getting naked in public.
Nice.
I'm very open and I don't shy away from sharing about these experiences. And when I started, you know, talking about the difficult stuff online, it really helped me. It really helped me kind of like realize how I felt about these things that I was going through. And then I got a lot of feedback from other people who were saying that it was helping them too, you know. So I think like sharing stuff online, like personal stuff and like stuff about my issues, it's a kind of like mutually beneficial thing. I get a lot out of it.
Yeah.
Because it helps me like figure out what I'm thinking in my head and kind of and realize my feelings around subjects and around things I'm going through, but then it also helps other people feel less alone.
I completely see that. And also your videos, I mean, I've watched a few of them, and you talk about, you know, how people's reactions to the word cancer and how we need to be so hush hush about things, and I think that's so nice to see that online, because there aren't many people, you know, there's just still so much stigma around it, and it was just nice to watch someone actually talk so candidly about it. And just like, you know, if you're still watching, then you probably do want to hear this. If not, then you know, you probably already skipped this video because you don't want to hear the word cancer. But has that word kind of, what does that mean to you now? Like, what does your life look like knowing that you have that?
Like I'm very open about my cancer diagnosis, and it is like part of like what this desire to wanting to destigmatize it, because cancer affects everyone, right? In some sort of way, either like personally, or you know, you have a relative or you know someone with cancer, like I don't know, before I got cancer, no one talked about it. Like I don't know, maybe I haven't been around the right people, but I always saw cancer as like a thing to keep quiet, not to mention, you know, you don't want to bring the mood down.
Oh, it's always that, isn't it? Yeah.
And it's like, but everyone's going to be affected by it. Someone in your life, or either yourself, you know, it's such a prevalent thing in society. And so talking about it and kind of and normalizing conversations about
for
it,
sure,
I think it's so important. And you know, just when things are stigmatized like that, we keep all our feelings about it in,
but totally.
If we're able to talk about it openly, then it helps everyone.
And you're clearly like, even though obviously there's pessimism and there's like such a huge kind of diagnosis and the big C the big C word is like, you know, with you at all times, but what kind of thing, like how do you want to be remembered, and like what's your kind of like plan for the next 15 years? Like, are there bucket list things on the list? Like, what's the vibe?
Yeah, I want to go to WrestleMania.
Oh my gosh, do it.
That's it. That's all I want.
Let's get Abby to WrestleMania.
How do we make that happen?
Yeah, how can we make that happen?
So it's the 50th WrestleMania. It's going to be in 9 years, right? So
right.
I've got 9 years. It will probably be in the States. So I'm just going to spend all my money. I'm going to get flights to the States.
Do it.
I'm going to stay in 5-star hotel. I'm going to like get a meet and greet ticket. So I'm not going to do any of this buy a house stuff. I'm just going to go to WrestleMania. I'm going to buy a Nintendo Switch.
Oh, yes. Buy a Nintendo Switch. Yeah.
But this is the thing as well, though. Like, I'm trying, like, there are lots of things I want to do with the next 15 years.
For sure.
I'm trying not to kind of, like, do a bucket list or anything like that.
Yeah.
Because I'm still, like, living a really normal life.
Yeah.
Like, I go to chemotherapy and I struggle with fatigue and sickness and all the side effects. But, you know, I do want to spend the next 15 years or however long I have left.
Yeah.
Just, like, living my life normally. Like, I want to just spend all my time with my partner, go on adventures, and just, you know, I want to go to work. I know that sounds so lame, but I want to, like, just, like, live this.
No, but life. I can imagine that having, you know, gone through what you've gone through, you've maybe labelled yourself as the girl that's going to, you know, going to die, or the girl that's had drinking problems. And you also do just want to have, you know, and I guess
just want to be a girl.
Just want to be a normal woman going to job and just, like, having a cup of tea on the sofa and, like, not always kind of living these highs. Because I think that there's this kind of expectation from speaking to people that you feel like you need to be doing all these amazing things.
Absolutely.
But actually the small mundane things are also, you know, to be treasured.
Getting a Nintendo Switch.
Exactly.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, before I got my diagnosis, I didn't realise that cancer was a thing that you could live with. Like, I don't have a great deal of experience with cancer. So I thought, you got cancer and then you got a death sentence and you die, basically. Mm. I didn't realise that it can, in some instances, be treatable and you can live with it and you can still have a normal life while having cancer. So I think, I want to live, I want to just keep on having an ordinary life, I think.
Mm. And of course.
Yeah, just spending time with my partner, really.
And I'm interested in kind of knowing people's responses to you, you know, saying I've got 15 years left, or this is kind of where I am at the moment. Mm. What do you like? What are the responses that you like, and the responses that you go, oh, just please don't bloody say that to me? Because I think,
sorry, go on.
No, I just think that there's just, I think we've always struggled with kind of knowing what to say to people,
lot,
and like, people have come on the show and they've gone, oh, my, you know, my dad died, and I've just not said anything, because obviously we talk about death on this show, and I am so sorry that you've, and of course I'm so sorry that you've had to go through this and that you are going through this. I mean, it is heartbreaking, but also I guess if people keep kind of throwing these comments at you, what do you call it, the niceties. is it frustrating, or like, what do you want to hear?
I think that it can be frustrating. I think like, the responses that I get that are just like, ugh, people automatically want to comfort me.
Mm.
If I'm like, oh yeah, I've got 15 years to live, and people are like, oh, I'm sure you'll be fine.
No. What? Sorry?
Nice.
Or they'll say, like, I'm sure you'll live longer, like, you know, like, it's not, nothing's certain, etc. and stuff. And I'm like,
complete denial.
Denial. Yeah. And it's like, actually, that's not very helpful, because like, people are, like, denying my experience that I'm having.
Mm.
It's okay, like, you know, it sucks, but, you know, we're all gonna die, we all have a limited time on this earth. And it's just, I don't want to be comforted. Like, I think everyone's different, you know. I think other people in my situation might want to be comforted, but, like, I feel like I don't need, when I say I've got cancer, pretty much everyone wants to kind of just give me a hug and tell me everything's gonna be okay, and I'm actually fine.
Well, I hope that this is the right thing to say then, but I really, like, love the fact that you've come on. Thank you for sharing, and I think that we're excited for you and rooting for you, and hope that you get to go to WrestleMania.
Yes,
is that what it's called?
Let's get Abby to WrestleMania.
We're on a mission, and, you know, enjoy all your holidays, your travels, your Nintendo Switch,
cups of tea,
and the cups of tea.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Thank you so much for joining us. Is there any kind of, like, last thing you want to mention, or anything that you want to share?
I'm just thinking about WrestleMania.
We'll leave it on that. That's fine.
Oh, really?
Forward to.
Well, there you go. Small joys. It's the small joys.
It is, though. It is. I believe that.
Thank you so much,
Thank
Abby.
Thank you, Abby. Really appreciate you coming on.
Have the best evening.
You. See you guys after the break. Bye.
Fubar Radio.
Access all areas with Bobby Norris.
We've got Georgia Harrison, my Yes I Yes sister. That's when I thought shit's got real.
Well, I got out, didn't I, with my little earmuffs on and my scarf. And they didn't show that either, because obviously I can't put everything in. But he looks at me and he goes, what the fuck are those? And he grabbed my earmuffs and he threw them across the New Zealand landscape. I thought, that's a fucking liberty. £3 from Sheen, they were. I was still in my Sheen Queen era.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app.
Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores.
Yeah. The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today.
Get it today.
Is the sound of your mates alive? Is getting to more gigs this year and the next? Is the sound of saying, I got you, mate? Is the sound of mates enjoying even more of this? Is the sound of mates getting home instead of here? Click your seatbelt, because you're twice as likely to be killed or seriously injured if you don't think.
When you notice something wrong, it tends to grow and eventually take over, to the point you can't really think of anything else. If something in your body doesn't feel right, the thought it could be cancer can play on your mind. Tests could put your mind at rest. Finding out sooner is always better. Your NHS wants to see you. Contact your GP practice.
Access All Areas with Bobby Norris.
We've got Georgia Harrison, my Yes I Yes sister. That's when I thought shit's got real.
Well, I got out, didn't I, with my little earmuffs on and my scarf. And they didn't show that either, because obviously I can't put everything in. But he looks at me and he goes, what the fuck are those? And he grabbed my earmuffs and he threw them across the New Zealand landscape. I thought, that's a fucking liberty. £3 from Sheen they were. I was still in my Sheen Queen era.
That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum.
I'd love to ask for people that look at you. What's one tip you would say to someone that potentially wants to be a future Chancellor of the Exchequer?
I guess I would just encourage all people, but particularly young women, because I'm the first ever woman to be Chancellor of the Exchequer, and the post has existed for 800 years.
Oh, wow.
Just to say to all young women and girls, there's no ceiling on your ambition. You can achieve whatever you want. Aim high, dream big, and you can realise your dreams too.
Death, a funny business on FUBAR Radio with Becky Briggs and Natasha Spencer-Levy.
And we are back.
We're
back.
Hello, Michael, can you hear us?
Loud and clear.
Yay. Amazing. Thank you so much for joining us. We're joined here with Michael Hebb, the founder of Death Over Dinner, which is an organisation which aims to encourage people to gather with their loved ones for a dinner to discuss the topic of how we'd like to die and funerals. Ooh. And also an author of Let's Talk About Death Over Dinner.
Lovely.
And it's an invitation and guide to life's most important conversations. So thank you so much for being online and joining us. How are you today?
I'm great. It's a beautiful day in Seattle, Washington.
I was going to say, I could sense Seattle. The accent. Where are you? Okay. Well, hello. Is it good morning or what's the...
It is good morning. Yeah.
What time is it in Seattle right now?
9:32 a.m.
Oh, thank you for waking up for us. That's very kind.
Of course.
So we'd love to know kind of what Death Over Dinner. I'd actually never heard of this before. Had you heard of it, Tash?
I hadn't heard of it, but I did some reading
and digging.
I find it very interesting, and I think our listeners would be super interested to find out a bit more about it.
Oh, well, happy to tell you about it. So I've been gathering people at the dinner table for the last 25, maybe more years, to talk about hard things. My background's in architecture, and I realized that I didn't need to build anything for people to have transformative experiences. I could just use the dinner table. And so I started hosting all kinds of different dinners on different topics. Ultimately realized that I wanted to scale a conversation globally about something that would... maybe excite, shock, intrigue, heal, all of the things. What would be a topic that I could get people to talk about all over the world? And I was thinking about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict back then. And I decided it was too difficult a topic. So I chose death.
Yay.
That is slightly easier.
Something we all have in common, I suppose.
Yeah, so we started having dinners. I was teaching at the University of Washington here in Seattle, and to learn how to have the most poignant conversations we possibly could over the dinner table. And then it launched about 12 years ago. We gave it as a gift to the world. And now there have been probably 2 million people who have sat down and used our materials and had this conversation.
Wow, that is a huge, huge number. That is some serious networking.
What happens then? So I want to have dinner. I can invite my friends.
I'm coming.
And then what happens? Do we download something, ask each other questions? Can you explain a little bit about what happens at the dinner table apart from the eating and drinking?
Yeah, of course. Of course. Yeah. So the website's the easiest resource, deathoverdinner.org, where you can indicate why you want to have a conversation about death. And is it because you're grieving? Is it because someone you love or you yourself has received a terminal diagnosis or early onset Alzheimer's, or you just think it's a great, challenging, interesting, inspiring conversation? Regardless of what your intention, the website creates a script for you. And the script essentially runs you through. It's almost like a board game. Everything, once you sit down to dinner, you just follow the script. And people host their own. I haven't been at 2 million dinner parties.
that would be pretty impressive. That would be pretty impressive.
I've been at thousands of these, and I wrote a book about it. And that's the kind of longer form version of, like, if people really want to get serious about hosting or having these conversations, the book is a really great resource.
What's been your most memorable dinner? Have there been some odd moments?
My most memorable dinner. Do you know who the country star Vince Gill is?
I should know this.
Country star. Gill. No. Why should you know that?
Country music.
Oh, yeah.
I love country music.
You do love country music.
But clearly not enough. Oh, do tell.
Well, Vince Gill, he's married to Amy Adams. And Vince is like a somewhat emotional guy, but he's like a steely cowboy sort of guy, too. And we were doing a dinner, and he broke down in the most like tender tears. And Amy Grant, his wife, who's also a huge star, started to talk about her interaction with ghosts.
Oh, wow.
As part of her healing process. there was a lot going on. And Taylor Swift almost came to that dinner.
What?
She lived next door. But
that's really cool.
Oh, so close.
Wow. Have you met Taylor Swift?
No, we're not friends.
You're not. Okay, moving on.
I mean, I have no problem. go Taylor.
If Taylor Swift wants to talk about death, you're ready.
Yeah. She can come on here as well.
This is the open invitation for Taylor Swift to come on.
Yeah. Please come on.
Let's go.
So what kind of topics are discussed around the dinner table?
Yeah.
What? Give some examples, if that's
questions.
Okay.
So the way every dinner starts, because people come in anxious or maybe a little bit overly excited not wanting to be there at all. Just had a regular day. And so you have to center people first and get them ready to have a really deep conversation. And so before the food is served, everybody sits down and lights a candle in honor of somebody in their life that has died. And they give a 1-minute eulogy about the impact that they had on their life. And then all of a sudden you have candlelight at the table, which is nice.
That's beautiful. I love that.
Yeah, and that really centers people. It opens them up and prepares them for, the really pretty deep conversation ahead. And then there will be about 5 questions, dependent upon the topic that you chose. And they start with an easier question, a quote-unquote easier question. Like, what song would you like at your funeral? What's your last meal? What's on your bucket list? Something you've heard before. And then it goes into the deeper end of the pool. Like, if you had 30 days, found out you just have 30 days left to live, how do you feel? And what are you going to do? How do you spend those 30 days? What's your last day? What's your last hour? And then questions like, what happens to your body? Are you going to be cremated, turned into a diamond?
That's what you want.
That's what I want. Yeah.
She wants to be a diamond.
Turn into a sparkly diamond. But I'm happy to be a tree if that's too expensive.
If they just we need to do this.
I know, we should. I genuinely think we should gather around a table with all of our friends and do
this. I mean, because like here, there's like such a stigma around death still, yeah. And people don't talk about it. My dad died and he didn't have a will and didn't.
As did my mother, who also passed and didn't have a will.
And we just kind of guessed. We were like, I think like the last Spotify song he played was this one. And he just, you know what I mean? We don't actually ever sit down and talk about what's going to happen because it's too scary for people to talk about. I mean, that's why we're here constantly ranting about
death and people dying.
But I think it's amazing that you can kind of sit down and have these conversations. And then what happens at the end of the dinner? Everyone kind of collects the answers and they get put in like a nice little cute package and then everyone kind of knows what to do next? Or what's the kind of process there?
How do we win?
It's not a board game.
Oh. Yeah, no, I mean, we do end every dinner with what's called an appreciation in the round. It's just a feel-good, like, kind of kumbaya moment where everybody turns to the person on their left and tells them why they love the person sitting there.
Oh, I love that.
Michael.
Sounds like a retreat.
So a little, like, oxytocin hit.
Nice.
And then, you know, there are suggestions on the site, like, are you prepared? Do you have a will? Do you have a healthcare proxy, et cetera? And, you know, it's not meant to be a one and done. The goal of death over dinner is to allow people, invite people into a conversation when they're not in crisis, ideally, so that they can gain some insight when shit isn't hitting the fan. As I'm sure both of you know, that when somebody dies, you can't think right.
No.
And you've never done it before, or maybe you have, but it doesn't matter because it's never the same. And you want to have built some literacy and some agency and some ideas of how you want things to go. And to your point, like not knowing what to do for your father, when we know, we actually get to honor them, which is an incredibly important part of the grieving process, to properly honor somebody. And if it's guesswork, that sucks.
And it feels like a rush as well. I think it feels like we just got to get this done and we've just got to get through it, rather than like kind of, you know, really honoring their legacy and
also
who they are as a person.
Also, like, if you don't have the questions answered, it feels like an always like a what if, like a, you know, what if I asked them that question, what if I knew that story, like I'll never get to do that. And so I suppose it really opens up this kind of experience that's really, really cool. Yeah.
Well, it is a tonic. You know, it's a tonic for
health. Yeah, for sure.
As I'm sure you're running into more and more with this topic, there's a lot of information about how, you know, what we should prioritize, what fires us up, what gives our life meaning. I think death is better than psychedelics for any of that.
So. It opens up your frontal lobe. No, it's true, though. I've been reading a lot about... you know, they say that, you know, love, you know, like grows your heart, but like grief grows your brain or your mind.
And it's done something to my mind.
Yeah, exactly. It changes.
Memory loss.
It changes you. Oh, God, I keep hitting the mic today. It changes you intrinsically, like mentally, not just in the sense of like when you feel other emotions. It's such a big feeling. So knowing all that stuff about someone's experience is super, super useful.
And what's next for Death Over Dinner? Like, how do you kind of envision the project evolving? Like, is it kind of, you know, at its best right now? Or do you think that you can kind of, what's the future?
You know, I mean, it was everything I did for 7-8 years, for sure. And we partnered with the Cleveland Clinic to create Death Over Dinner for clinicians. And then I wrote the book, and now I still teach a few times a year at different, wellness convening centers, Modern Elder Academy, Kripalu. So I teach workshops, but quite frankly, what I'm focused on right now in the United States is working with a guy named Van Jones, and we're working on healing the divide between Black and Jewish leaders at the dinner table. So I've gone once again into even harder stuff.
Yeah. You're like, what's next on the list of hard things to do? I'll do this one. So yeah. Are we having death, like conversations about death, or just conversations about kind of intrinsic race and religious issues in between those two parties?
Yeah, well, you know, it's a mess in the Middle East.
For sure.
And it's had a huge impact on American politics and American relationships between Black leaders and Jewish leaders, for sure. So there's a lot of hard conversations that need to happen. And we're just beginning to heal some of those relationships and understand. But I got to tell you, like, the death conversation has prepared me for it. Because I've heard some of the hardest things at the table.
I can imagine.
And I know it's going to be okay. I know it works. Yeah. I know people can talk about hard things.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm excited to do this, I know. Actually. I think
we're going to have to book ours in.
Let's book our dinner
in. Let's make a decision.
We need to find some friends.
Yeah.
And then we're going to do it.
That'll be the first thing.
it's hard. You're in England, I'm assuming.
For sure. Yeah,
we're in London. Yeah.
Yep. It's hard to have this conversation in London. As you, I'm sure, well know.
Yes, we don't like talking about it, us Brits.
We don't. It's because it's all going to be fine.
Yeah,
and,
it's fine.
You know, it's fine and we'll move on and everyone is in a better place. It doesn't really matter. We just need to get through it. I think that's our mentality here, which we're trying to
hit on the head. Do you know what, Michael? We're going to do it. We'll bring death to dinner.
You're going
to
do it?
To England.
Yeah, definitely.
We'll be the first, or like maybe one of the... We'll do something big. That's what we'll do.
Are you joining us for dinner? You can come to London.
Come to London.
I would love to come to London. I love London.
Let's do it.
I have done dinners in London, and you know, the amazing thing that happens there is Death Over Dinner is a dinner of questions, right? Which you want people to give answers, but in London, people just want to deflect with further questions. Who can be clever, more clever?
We won't do that.
I feel personally attacked.
No.
You won't do that.
You have to answer the question.
Question. We will all answer the questions, we promise.
But you've got to see if Taylor Swift is around.
Yeah.
Bring her along
Call
as well.
Taylor.
That would be great.
Oh, great. I'll just ping her real quick.
You ping Taylor.
Anyone exciting in London that you may know, bring them to Death Over Dinner.
We'll have a really interesting chat.
Okay, will. I love it. Well,
I'll bring the hummus and the crudités.
Okay, you're already peace building. Look at that.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Thanks so much for joining us, Michael. It's been fascinating. I'd never heard about this, but I'm definitely going
to
go and
we're going to have to do one.
Organize a dinner now.
We'll have to do a death of funny business.
Oh,
dinner. What is it?
Yeah, that'd be great. We'd have food in here. Maybe that'd be fun.
We can't have food in here. We could do it over a dinner. We're gonna find a nice table, a smoothie in a sippy cup.
Perfect. Amazing. Thank you so much, Michael.
Thank you,
Michael. For giving up your morning. And yeah,
we know how it goes.
We will indeed. We will.
Of course.
Take care.
Okay. Bye, Michael.
Bye. That was fun.
I like Michael. What a lovely chap.
And like.
We're going to have to do this. Death of Funny Business does Death Over Dinner.
Oh, we are.
Oh, my gosh.
We are. Producers, make
collab.
Note. We're
the
doing
collab.
It.
We're looking at Yasmin. Yasmin, you got
Who's
it?
Who's joining?
She's written it down.
We could maybe get some previous guests in or something. And
we could totally... We could this... Okay. This is what's going to happen. We're going to do the year or whatever. We're going to get to a year for our year anniversary or something. We do like a death... We do Death of Funny Business does Death Over Dinner. And we have a birthday party.
What if I die before then? You won't be able to honour me.
Okay, but hold on a second. You're so obsessed with you dying. I feel like I'm not...
I know.
Don't think... You always say this. And I'm like, why are you dying first?
I'm more likely
to die first. I'm more chronically ill than you.
Like, I probably smoked more than you.
Oh girl. We don't need to...
We can discuss this later.
Well, don't need to incriminate myself on this show. It's live!
It is live. That's
anyway,
disgusting behavior.
Anyway.
So we're going to play a game.
Oh, really?
But is it me asking the questions again, or what's the deal here? Do you know?
I don't know. You're the
it's
one
a discussion.
With,
oh, okay.
I think it's a would you rather.
It is a would you rather.
I mean, it says that's what it says on the
I know, but sometimes I don't know what you have on your... Anyway, this is boring.
Well,
would you rather? Do you want to go first?
Shall I ask
just
you one?
Because last time I
would you
right,
shut
read.
Up. Would you rather your memorial service be held at a trampoline park or on a roller coaster?
Roller coaster, because I don't like trampolines.
I quite like trampolines.
Because people will break their ankles on trampolines.
No, I agree.
And then someone,
you.
It'll be about them.
But
and then it won't be about me.
Do you know what I love? Trampolines covered in pillows and like duvets. Like cozy trampoline. Do you know what I mean? Like,
That sounds quite good.
It's
yeah.
so nice. Like the best nap I ever had was on a trampoline in the middle of summer under a tree. It was the best.
You're not napping. Okay. I believe that you are dead. So you are having a long nap.
Would you rather have your coffin transported by hot air balloon or a vintage car parade? Hot air balloon.
Yeah, more of a statement, isn't it?
Yeah, I just want, no, but I want to float. You know. Would you rather have everyone crying at your funeral or everyone happy?
That's what a stupid question.
I want everyone crying.
I want people to be so upset that I'm gone.
No. I don't know. No. I mean, in theory, yeah, I wouldn't mind if people cried, but I also would be quite happy if everyone was kind of jumping
I think it'd be great if they cried, because then I know that they are grieving and they are actually sad.
Yeah.
But then I think, like, that's when the rave comes in later and everyone starts partying and they're happy. You know?
You're really up for this rave. I like it, though.
Would you rather your obituary to be performed by a stand-up comedian or your favourite rapper?
Stand-up comedian.
Yeah.
Stand-up comedian.
I think people will be really shocked if I said favourite rapper.
Who's your favourite rapper?
I don't have a favourite rapper.
Doechii is like, I'm living for her right now. I love her so much.
I don't really listen to any rap.
Fair enough.
I used to listen to Eminem a bit.
That's the most Swedish thing you've ever said.
He's not. Sorry. How? Anytime. You just don't know. Oh, whatever. I actually don't want to talk about
it. I'm sorry. Don't hate me.
Would you rather?
God. Are you actually mad?
No.
Okay, good.
Would you rather everyone dressed at your funeral?
Would
or fancy dress? What? Why can't I read? Would you rather people are dressed at your funeral? No, probably, naked.
No, actually, yeah, naked.
I'd love it if everyone was naked.
Would you rather everyone dress fancy at your funeral or in fancy dress?
Fancy dress.
I quite like fancy dress.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, I want everyone dressed up as, like, you know, weird characters.
Yeah.
Would you rather have an open or closed casket? Ooh, closed.
Closed. You don't want to see me like that.
I don't even want to talk about that because that's horrendous. No. I don't understand it. I mean, I fair dues to people who want it.
No, I do understand it, but I just also don't want people to see me like that. I want people to remember me for, like, you know, nice makeup
on and happy
smile.
Would you rather have your body sent into space in a rocket or buried at the bottom of the ocean in a pirate ship coffin?
Space, because maybe I'll come back to life. I'll be oxidized or something.
What the fuck? Why would you come back to life in space?
Because we don't know what's out there. We don't know what's going on out there.
You're gonna get sucked up by an alien and then cloned and then reborn.
Mm-hmm. And
nice.
Come back.
I like
just
it.
Don't know. Whereas down
I
there,
I think I'd quite like to be in space, float around, get to the edge of the universe. The ocean seems a bit limiting. Do you
it
know
does,
what I mean?
But apparently it's not.
Well, no, it's a very we have not explored.
We don't exactly
it, like 98%.
Exactly.
Of the
ocean, so there could be aliens down there as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, I don't like that thought either. I just like to clarify something now that we're done. I'm not fucking crazy. I know I have a stuffed bear collection, but it's not weird.
Have you been thinking about this this
I've
whole time?
I've been thinking about the whole time. I'm like, I've just confessed on live radio that I have this, like, kind of slightly, you know... Actually, I'm not that embarrassed about it.
I don't think you are embarrassed about
it
at all.
No, I'm not really. No, I've said worse, haven't I?
You've definitely
Maybe
said worse.
Maybe I just, I don't know, but it's just something that's...
But do you want that incorporated in your funeral? Would you rather have George or would you rather have...
Oh, no. I want all of them in my coffin together. I want all of them.
You could lie on them in your coffin.
That's what I'm saying. Mm. Put me in there and... Although they're all made out of, like, acrylic and I want to be planted as a tree, so it's probably not good for trash. So I want them to be gifted to small, impoverished children. Because I look after my bears very well. They're all very well looked after, so they're good nick, really. Anyway,
what a show.
It's been so nice.
It's been so nice.
I think it's actually lovely to talk to, like, I feel like both conversations are, like, really inspiring and they've made me feel like we're doing the right thing. Like, today, like, do you know what I mean?
No, I do know
what
you mean.
But, like, not me and you, but the show, like, itself. Like, she's laughing at me. She's laughing at me.
No, I agree.
Why did you laugh?
I don't know. I laugh when I'm uncomfortable.
Why does that make
it's just I don't know why I feel uncomfortable.
Well, anyway,
no, I agree.
I'm
in support of what you're saying. I think it's been great, and
I think it's nice to talk to people who, like, understand that sometimes it is about talking about it.
Yeah.
Like, to an extent of, like, even to an extent where it's almost, like, it's almost intellectual. Like Michael's talking about it in a way that's so, like, not academic.
Maybe
but
that's
like,
why I struggled.
Maybe. But, like, it's almost, like, you know, sometimes if we talk about it in this, like, logical way, it becomes a little bit less scary and it's a little bit less, like, fairy tale and, like, horror story, and it's a bit more, like, okay, it's math. You know?
Yeah. But also the fact that it's real. I think, like, you know, just the fact that we are talking to these people who are also going through, like, such difficult... I mean, like, I can't even imagine what it's been like for Abby. Yeah. And I think it's great for her just to be able to share her story and for us to be not always laughing about everything.
No, and actually, I'm so glad she feels like she is brave to come on here and talk about her experience.
She is.
Yeah.
Thank you for all our guests, and we are going to be back next week at 5 p.m. if you enjoyed us ranting.
Every damn Tuesday we'll be here. And follow Football Radio.
Bye, thank you so much. Bye.